So how to do this? I want to just talk about two aspects: mindfulness of purpose and effort. I'm not going to go into mindfulness of purpose too much because I'm hoping that the workshop on Monday is actually going to give us a bit of a taste of that and help us with that area. But mindfulness of purpose, when we have a mindfulness of purpose, we've got, if you like, a golden thread running through our lives. It stops us from compartmentalizing our life. It stops us from separating spiritual life with the rest of it. And it stops us from over-identifying with particular spiritual practices, as it were. So we might see that thread particularly through certain actions or aspects, like study or meditation or communication, friendship. It could be any of these things. Or it might be just very much your own inner values, your own inner world, creating its own golden thread that you're just in touch with, like a touchstone. Yeah. But whatever helps you stay in contact with your essence, with your heart, with your aspirations, you've got a place in your life, basically. And one way of placing it in your life is also to give expression to it. So don't disguise it under cynicism. Don't be cool. Yeah. It's quite fashionable, isn't it, to have a sort of language of coolness or of aloofness. Yeah. But just be passionate about things that you really believe in, really. Otherwise, actually, what you believe in will just gradually submerge beneath, you know, your persona. And effort. So if we recognize the possibility of enlightenment, then we have to do something about it. So we saw this in Vasubandhu's verse where he said, you know, we see that the Buddha is human and I'm human, and he starts off with all sorts of weaknesses, and so do I, but I can become like him if only I make the effort. Yeah. And then Bhante said, well, once you see the possibility of enlightenment, you have to do something about it, and that is going to require effort. Recently, I've been reflecting a bit on effort in my life, particularly around the, this is going to sound quite funny, around the process of trying to lose some weight. Now, just to say, I'm not trying to accomplish the big hair, you know, sort of certain kind of figure, but it would be good to be a bit thinner somehow, because I feel sort of, well, I won't go into that, actually. Let's not go into that. Okay, so basically, I need to exercise more and eat less. That's roughly it, isn't it, really? You can't argue with it. That's what you've got to do. And I think, well, you know, I can believe in conditionality. I can believe that all you need to do is just do these things, and then these, you know, the results will follow. But can I do it? No. So I said, but Sadhananda, you do believe in the law of conditionality. And I think, well, it's so much easier not to believe in it, isn't it? Because if you believe in it, you really have to do something, don't you? You have to apply effort. I think, God, it's so much easier to think, it doesn't really work. No. Law of conditionality, no. It's such a simple law, and you see it out there, and it's really doing its thing, isn't it? You see how conditions lead to other conditions. But it's so much easier to keep that vague and to experience doubt. And actually, it's so much more spiritually, justifiable to experience doubt rather than blind obstinacy or unwillingness to apply effort. Yeah? It's easier to own up to it. That's what I'm trying to say. It's easier to own up to having doubts than to actually put your cards on the table and say, I know what I need to do. I just don't want to do it. Yeah. And I suppose actually if we don't want to do it, we have to say, is it because we don't really want the thing that we're saying we do want? Or is it just that we're unintegrated and don't know ourselves? As far as I can see, that's the only two options. You might come up with some others. Despondency is easier. It is actually, isn't it? Despondency is easier than applying effort. I've been thinking about that in relationship to nihilism and eternalism. So these are views that we can hold in life. and the Dharma being the middle way between the two. And I've just been thinking, God, both eternalism and nihilism are lazy ways of holding a vision. That's what I've been thinking. Both resist the impact of having a vision and of taking responsibility for it. So in nihilism, we have a vision. We apply it. We apply what needs to be done briefly, and it doesn't work. Phew. We let go into despondency, meaninglessness, hopelessness, and the freedom to do what we like. It was quite a short track. I mean, it can be a bit more convoluted than that. Eternalism, we have a vision. We bargain with the universe that if we make a lot of effort now, we will receive a reward. The future will be pleasant. We invest in a future pleasure, and we carefully apply immediate effort. And we experience pride because we're doing it before we fall. So the outcome is not how we hoped. It's different from our expectations. It's more demanding than we'd realized. And as far as we can see, it hasn't worked. The universe, the God, the guru, the best friend, the lover has not kept their side of the bargain. So we feel justified in our despondency, resentment, and we look for another guru, God, religion, situation, lover. And we feel sad, but we feel justified in giving up our commitment. That's a sort of rough sketch, yeah? Actually, I do think some of that's going on a bit in the movement at the moment. It's like, sometimes I think there's quite a lot of us in the movement who are just having to learn again how to hold a vision or how to hold an ideal in a more mature way and in more of a way that's aligned with the law of conditionality and less aligned with nihilism or eternalism. Yeah, recently myself and Kula Prabha were leading a retreat based on the three myths of self-development, self-discovery and self-surrender. So we were looking at three different teachings in Buddhism. The law of conditionality, the Tathagatagarbha teaching and the Pure Land school. And, I think all three myths, all three different aspects, all three different schools show us, if you like, a different way of holding a vision. So self-development asks us to hold a vision by making steps towards it. Yeah? And self-discovery, that's the Tathagatagarbha teaching, asks us to hold that vision by having the confidence to believe that we are already in possession of it. It's just a case of revealing it, uncovering it. And self-surrender asks us to hold that vision by believing there's nothing we can do but surrender to the compassion of the Buddha and ask for help. Yeah? And it was a fantastic retreat because what we began to realize, it was like we were sitting within this mandala of tools, spiritual tools, if you like. Yeah? We were sitting in the shrine room over there with three different rupas symbolizing each of these different myths. But it did feel like more and more we were sitting within a circle of different ways that we can hold a vision. And if you like, different ways that we can apply effort. So you might apply effort quite differently if you believe you've got to move towards it. Or you might apply effort if you've just got to reveal it and discover it. Or if you've just got to surrender to the Buddha that you're in contact with, that's a different kind of effort again, yeah? I began to see more and more how crucial effort is in the spiritual life and how we need a mandala, if you like, of tools and equipment, I suppose, for us to work with that area in our lives, yeah? I'm just going to finish with a quote from Bhante, and it's from the little talk he did on the ideal of human enlightenment, which my community hear me quote over and over again. Nowadays, we have to recognize that many people are skeptical about ideals, especially so perhaps about spiritual ideals, about the possibility of transforming the real into the ideal. Buddhism, however, is not skeptical. It has faith in the spiritual ideal, faith in the ideal of human enlightenment, and it has faith in the ideal because it has faith in man, in the creative potential of man. And because it has faith in humans and human beings, it asks us to have faith in ourselves. It does not ask us to believe, least of all to believe in Buddhism. Instead, it asks us to take the ideal of human enlightenment as a practical working hypothesis. It asks us to make the experiment. It asks us to try. Thank you.